You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists, like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Bizzle Fuma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.
The Around the NFL Podcast. Back at Hollywood Park, baby.
From the Chris Wessling Podcast Studio, it's the Around the NFL Podcast. Dan Hansis here. We were here, and then we were gone. And now we're here again, and that's good. Greg Rosenthal, Mark Sessler. Let's do it, boys. Let's fly.
We're going to be together three times a week. Four, I guess, if you count TNF recap. But that's all split up in the same room for like the next, I don't know, 6 months. Are you prepared for that emotionally? Or maybe the next 6 years, Mark Sessler?
Six years is a tremendous stretch. I don't predict that for myself. But I will say that I can tell that Greg is extremely enthusiastic about returning to our office because
I do like podcasting together.
Well, but within, you know, Dan and I witnessed this, that within, you know, a 20 or 30 minute span, Greg was networking with roughly 5 to 6 people, just, you know, at their desk, you know, confabbing, going through some talking points. So Greg's back in his element.
Literally, there was one person, and that was to ask to approve my new computer request.
Not accurate.
This is what it's like right now. I would say that Greg's excited to be here. I have to be honest. I feel pretty happy to be here.
Oh, this is for the two of you. This is I like it myself to some degree. But
Mark's car is running in the parking garage right now.
That's
and we started 34 minutes late. So
there always is a little bit of shame that you feel like when you enjoy your job around Mark. It's like he's like, no, please don't.
Like I think I've been a good sport, have I not? I mean,
you're always a good sport, Mark. Oh,
well, that is not the case. I'm trying to be, you know, exemplary right now.
Well, how you doing, by the way? Because I know on top of this controversy, being back in the office, you had that tweet. I do not understand any adult who drinks milk, and you're getting big milks coming after you, as I understand.
I'm getting killed essentially by, like, the nation of Norway and big chunks of the Midwest, where I'm now alerted to the fact that there are men in their 40s, 30s, and 40s who are drinking, you know, systematically, habitually every night, large, warm glasses of milk before they go off to sleep. I threw out the first missile, so you've got to be prepared for what's coming back at you. It's not a conversation that I wanted to continue necessarily, but I opened the door, and I'm being told by many people that I'm being judgy, that if you're an adult and you like to fill your body with the you know, what's coming out of a cow's, a female cow's body parts, and you want to put that into your body, you know. And
this is the part where Mark talks about anything food related, and it sounds like an alien in a human body trying to fit in with society.
Well, it's like, let's quick, what can I put in my bloodstream? Like a tremendous amount of like bovine estrogen. Good idea. But you know what? To each their own. I should not have tweeted it. It went in a direction I found unrewarding.
You know what, Mark? It is 2021. This toxic masculinity that you're spewing. How about bovine estrogen is something that every man could use?
I think that's the new direction.
This isn't He-Man anymore. We're not watching G.I. Joe. It's not 86 anymore, Sessler. It's 21. Adapt and adjust.
Well, I feel like it was probably more acceptable back then, but I will.
All right. Today's show. All right, so we got Mark. I don't know if we're going to have Mark in January, but we got him now. He's in the office with us, and today's show, it's a good one. You know, we're entering week three, and a thought I had today was this is kind of the last call for certain bandwagons.
Mm.
If certain aspects of a team, a player, a coach, a story around the NFL has taken shape through the first 2 weeks of the season, this is your last chance to really own it, be a part of it, be in support or be against it before you're just part of the crowd, before you're just some jabroni on a talking head show, just recycling points that a producer gave you 4 minutes before you go on the air. I'm talking, this is the real stuff. This is get on the bandwagon before it leaves the area. And we're going to share our strong feelings, the bandwagons that we're on, and you could come or you can leave, but this is the last chance to do it. You know who I'm talking about. I'm not naming names, but some people, you know, it's whatever the easy take is. There's no real takes involved. There's no heart behind it. These are takes that you have. There's something in your heart is telling you this. I feel strongly about it, and I knew it before you did.
No, there's been an eye-opening lessons for me in this business of how many people speak on TV that literally only watch while they're there on Sundays at most. And some don't even do that. They just, right. That's what they do now.
I mean, there's you know.
They show up and they go.
There's age-old stories of, you know, one or two Hall of Fame NFL players at our network, no longer
easy.
At our network, who
no, never
needed to be
network.
Shaken from a couch no. while in a deep sleep. Before,
only at the other know. One in Connecticut. Never, or another LA office. Never this one. Now.
Well, not according to my reports, but okay.
Also, Thursday night football preview with the tiny box, Panthers at Texans. I mean, we got off to a hot start with primetime, but we're getting Lions Packers, which we'll talk about next, and then Panthers Texans over the next two games. But maybe we'll get some fun out of that game and we'll preview it. But yes, before anything else, let's finish up week two with a Monday Night Football recap.
Four-man rush. Rodgers sets, catches, and throws a line drive down the middle. Caught in stride. Passmark, goal line, touchdown. Robert Tonyan, the tight end. A 22-yard laser thrown by Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers is back. Maybe. Kevin Harlan with the call. He's a pro's pro. Westwood won. Aaron Rodgers threw for 255 yards and four touchdowns. That after our first half, in which I believe he threw for about 85 yards and was outplayed by Jared Goff. But it's a four-quarter football game. They ate their orange slices at halftime, the Packers did, and came out on fire. You know, my boys playing soccer now, and maybe this is a Northeast thing, but one of the best things about soccer when you were a boy or a girl is when halftime came, Mom came out with a big, giant bag of orange slices. Maybe it's a COVID thing, but the orange slices aren't around anymore at halftime here in Southern California, and it's on my radar.
My child plays soccer, too, and it's been the third year now, and there have not been orange slices pre-COVID.
Where
so
are the orange slices?
I don't know what happened.
And the warm glasses of milk. Anyway, 35-17, Packers over Lions. Greg. This was a game the Packers obviously needed after the week one disaster against the Saints. Do you feel better about them after this game?
Yeah.
Me too.
Because that it could have kept going like the first half was going, which you just could not get a stop whatsoever. The Packers offense I was never worried about, but it is nice to just see them destroy a Lions secondary, which is so thin right now. You know, you lost Okuda. I think Melifonwu, their rookie, who had some moments, got hurt during this game and is going to be out for a while, too. And so Aaron Rodgers carved him up, and he did it in a, like, beautiful way. The 3rd-and-12 throw to Devontae Adams right before that happened. Mm. Like, Brian Griese goes, hey, this is a big down for the Detroit Lions. They're trying to get off the field the first drive of the second half, 3rd-and-12. Could have had the ball up three. Felt like it was a game at that point. And Rodgers throws essentially the Manning to Manningham Super Bowl pass. Like, that
right.
was as good a pass as you can ever have. And then the touchdown call we just heard was into like a mail slot over a guy's shoulder. He wasn't open at all. And you just felt like, okay, this is the Packers experience. You get a couple turnovers and it's a walk. I mean, I don't feel too much different about them, but this is what they should do.
But I think it laid out the way that 97% of people thought it would, knowing the Packers that we've known for
a long time.
No, the first half, to me, I mean, to your point, Dan, like the Packers had 67 yards passing. They looked out of sorts. I thought they were dull to watch. They were not pleasing to the eyes. And you start to get concerned about them. But then they came back and their big players in the second half did what you'd expect. Devontae Adams, Aaron Rodgers looking totally pristine. That throw to Tonyan, Next Gen Stats notes that he never had more than 1.2 yards of separation from Alex Anzalone was on him. And that's how tight of a window Rodgers just put it in there. So he can still, he's still accurate. We don't need to panic and freak out. I am not like, I still see the Packers as a team, because I think if you look on defense, we kind of, all we talk about is their offense half the time. I still see a 10-win team that's going to get punched in the face in January like they always do. But they're not, it's not a collapse scenario. And I'm not trying to be anti-Packers. I just don't, there's something about them I'd find a little bit off.
Yeah, you said, you tweeted out, the Packers are a yawn. They'll win their share of games and get super whacked. People so ready to fawn over Aaron Rodgers and forget it all. I feel like you had one, too, where you said they were in deep trouble this game.
Yeah, I think
you
had
that
one or two. Did you have one or two?
I find that this is a team that that agitates me on some level. And it's not that they have a wonderful fan base, so I'm trying to explore why. It's my issue.
It's the whole quarter, you know, Favre to Rodgers thing has always annoyed you that they had these two quarterbacks.
It is that. I mean, any fan of a team that struggled to find a quarterback, it is definitely on your radar that you go Favre to. Speaking of Favre, I mean, that the secondary ESPN telecast, which I think is off to a good start with Eli and Peyton, their kryptonite is the 2021 Brett Favre on a delay. I could not get through that.
So last week on the Manning cast, they were blessed with a bunch of really good guests, and it lifted the show. And Favre, who I think was trying to like fix his satellite dish or something to get his image correct.
He has like the old 80s satellite dish that my father-in-law, Bob Bates, has at the old farm. And just pointing up at Mars or whatever, and that's how you watch TV. You imagine Favre is not up with the times in terms of
You can sort of see why he's faded into the woodwork to some degree and not, like, popped up as a broadcaster. Because he's like, they're like, say, what did you watch the first half? Any impressions? Yeah, I didn't see any of the first half. Well, great to have you on. But we'll break
Brett,
down the game.
You know we're having you on for the Monday Night Football game, right? I don't even know if he knows where he is. But, yeah, the Lions, if you were a Lions fan that fell asleep at halftime, I hope you're not listening to this right now, and I hope you've stayed off the internet and any other, you know, sports-related news platform, because it was pretty special for a while there. And Jared Goff, he almost had me, where I was thinking, I started to say to myself, oh, is Jared Goff going to put together a big-time season? I've already said that I think he's going to have a nice fantasy season, but maybe this revenge narrative, and he spoke about it at length with the Monday Night Football team, ahead of this game, that it did drive him as you think it would, but things just fell apart in the second half. And I think it's the Lions just are so talent deficient that this is going to be their story. Even if Dan Campbell has the team pointed in the right direction, they're going to have these spurts of play, but then eventually get overwhelmed. So that's where the Lions are as a team. Is the Packers, and we're going to talk about it more on Thursday, obviously, but this would. Their week 3 Sunday night game against San Francisco is a great early measuring stick where the Packers are as an organization. But part of me is a little bummed. I was hoping this like long, greasy haired, barely like plugged in version of Aaron Rodgers in my mind was a real thing. And then he was just going to meander through a terrible season and then go live in Hawaii for the rest of his life. But he kind of looked like Aaron Rodgers. And I know Packers fans are pumped about that.
They're working through things. Everyone is. It's week 2. You know, they put Stokes, their rookie, out there for 44 snaps. That changed their defense. He had a good game. We'll see if he has it when he's, you know, not covering the Lions wide receivers. Their pass pro seems like they're still kind of working through some things. Aaron Rodgers took a few sacks, but it was okay for the most part. Like, they're playing Devondre Campbell, the former Falcon, basically every snap at inside linebacker. Like, the defensive problems, I do not think, have gone away. And I found it very interesting. Dan Campbell said after the game that he kind of put it on the offense, that we need to win shootouts, was basically what he said. I thought Anthony Lynn called a great game. If you look at what the Lions offense has done the last 2 weeks, it's been pretty tough to prepare for with a bunch of receivers that you have no idea who it is. You have a very good offensive line. I think they're going to throw a lot, but you basically got Jared Goff's like negative college scouting report in that second half. The whole tiny hands thing that everyone was fixated on, and then it gets raining and he can't hold on to the ball multiple times and he panics when he gets pressured, and then you had the whole Jared Goff experience. You had the beautiful throws from the pocket, and then you have the, oh, this is why Sean McVay dumped.
Yeah, their second half drives where they went out on downs, a fumble, a punt, an interception, and downs. It's just like it's the classic bad team in a division who cannot go four full quarters with the giant inside the division. One positive, though, because you are rebuilding, you need to hit on your draft picks. Penei Sewell played a good game. He had like only two pressures on something like 39
they can't
pass
move
blocking
him.
Snaps. No, I think they kind of stumbled into the overt solution.
Sometimes you need help to do what seems obvious to others. But, all right. Oh, before we move on, in the lead up to this game, Jamal Williams, now a Lions running back, formerly of the Packers, had an entertaining little soundbite in his meeting with the media ahead of this game. I just wanted to play that for the audience and boys.
You act like I left on my own. Golly, I didn't do it. Shoot, if I could have stayed, I could have stayed. If I can't, they didn't want me like that ex-girlfriend. Shoot, I gotta go. But, you know, glad I got a rebound. It was the Lions. They picked me up. You know what I mean? Now they feeding me good, taking me to dinners. You know what I mean? Another man's trash is another man's treasure. So, but I'm just having fun, man. It's part of life. You know, you're going to have those type of rejections. You're going to get turned down. You're going to get, you know, people ain't going to want you. But when you get your shot and opportunity again from somebody who will give you your shot, you know, you just got to take that opportunity, be grateful for it, and make it count.
That's so true. There's actual, it's funny because I like the way he speaks and his viewpoint on his professional football life, but there was real wisdom there. I don't know if you guys have ever been in a relationship and maybe you weren't the one that terminated it and you have to find a way to move on. He's talking football and he's mixing in the ex-girlfriend analogy. It's so true. You got to shake it off. Somebody else is going to feed you and take care of you down the line. Just don't dwell on the past.
I know that when I'm, you know, terminated from this place of employment and picked up by West Texas Sports South, I will have the same attitude and probably say much of the same lines.
That attitude and like his personality is one of the reasons I think they made him such a priority signing. He is like the ultimate Dan Campbell. Like, he's going to be good in the locker room. He's a culture builder. Like, everyone loves Jamal Williams. His press conferences have been amazing since he was a rookie, and he's back there starting. They're a pretty good running team. Like, they're a good offensive line. They have some things. I just wish they didn't still have the Matt Patricia defense, which is, I mean, I think the coaching will probably be better in the long run, but at this point, the production's not. They look like the worst defense in the league.
And one little note, Aaron Jones with four touchdowns, but he is the first Packers back since 1942, a man by the name of Andy Aram, to have three touchdown receptions in one game. And he'd played for his dad, and he lost a necklace. His father passed away in April. He had a necklace with his father's ashes in it. Lost the necklace, and then they found it.
A lot of Aaron Jones nugs coming in at the end of
this
weekend.
Well, they found it after the game, so
that was,
you know,
nice.
It was a special night for him.
That was good.
Yeah.
You put your dad's ashes in your necklace, you lose the necklace in the end zone. Luckily recovered.
It's a reminder, it's too. It's not quite the last dance Bulls like Rodgers and Adams put out there, but they do have Adams, Jones, and Rodgers here, you know, and Adams and Jones squarely in their primes, all making good money. Like, this is it.
This is
the time.
If Mark's prediction's true and they fall on their face, there's no way the season can be viewed as successful on any level. It's basically Super Bowl or bust. And Mark, if the new NFL network set up here, it doesn't do much for you. Just imagine what the West Texas Sports South newsroom looks like.
Well, that facility will be, you know, a diamond, I no doubt.
Basically an abandoned gymnasium, I would imagine, would be that particular
rebuilding project.
All right, so that's the game. That's Monday night. That's week two. And like I said, a little bit later, we'll start digging into week three with Colleen Wolf. But first, yes, as we discussed, 2 weeks in, you're starting to see, you know, we're watching all these games and we're watching all these guys and all the off-season narratives are gone by the wayside. Now there's time to really assess where we're at and where the league's going in 2021, our league. So it's time to hop on the bandwagon and head out yonder. And that's what we're going to do right
now.
So
friendly talk goes on around the Carter campfire until, with the setting of the sun over the darkening prairie vastness, there comes a request for music. Music that erases the solitude of the plains.
Yes. Yes, let's hit the road over the prairie fields of America. And I am giving you guys one last chance to get on the Derek Carr and Raiders bandwagon. This is your last chance. Mark, I'm looking at you specifically because this is going to be potentially a fun season and one worth riding a bandwagon for the Raiders. You got the team of Thal up there. I used to think Denver was up there, but it's kind of right in the middle. That's in the prairies. There's some mountains there, of course, but we got some prairie area up into the mountains. We'll probably pass by Denver.
It's a tough spot to go through. I mean, that's where
it's a little treacherous.
Some bandwagons don't make it out. It's hilly.
We're gonna lose the
people
twins.
People are by the side. You know, brothers kill each other for
Donner
for meat.
Party scenario. Didn't work out too well.
Yeah, we're gonna have to stop for a couple burials maybe there. But you know, you're the team of Thal. The team of Zeus TL is going to be the Raiders, I think, because we know what the offense can do. Although maybe we were selling them short a little bit, because if Carr is better this year than he's been, and he's playing at a higher level than he has in the past, which I think he is in this offense he's so familiar with, well, perhaps this idea of the Raiders being merely good on offense could be even better. But it's the defense that really has me excited, because you have Derek Carr, quasi-badass, Ruggs, Waller, Renfro, Brian Edwards. I like all that. But we might have something here with Gus Bradley's D. And Max Crosby, per next-gen stats, leads the NFL through 2 weeks with 15 pressures. Yannick Ngakoue, right behind him. He's got 11 pressures. So they have something cooking up front if they can stay healthy. And they have an identity on defense for the first time. So you put it all together, and when we're trying to figure out this wild card playoff setup, because I don't think they're going to take down the Chiefs in the West, but a team that could win 10 games and be a tough out if they get there, hop on the Raiders bandwagon and take a ride with the new old Blue Eyes.
I mean, that might be selling them short, 10 wins. You know, they would go 8-7 the rest of the way.
That's true. I didn't even look at it that way. All right, let's lock them in for 11-6.
The defense is where I would start there too, because that's what I've tried to say on this podcast for a few years. Like, if their defense was just average, I think their offense has been better than average the last few years. And yes, Derek Carr is playing at a higher level the last, you know, six quarters after that tough start in Baltimore than almost I've ever seen him, than any quarterback in the league in week two. But the defense, again, just be average. And then I think Gruden's vision comes in handy. The focus is on the front line, and you're right, Max Crosby looks like he's making the leap. He's had his substance abuse battle that he's talked about along with Darren Waller, and I don't know if it's just that he's healthier this year, but he looks like he could be an all-pro type player.
I mean, he's in his prime, too. I mean, this
but
is
he didn't play nearly
year.
As – rookie year, really impressive. Couldn't stop the run, was a great pass rusher. You're just like, wow, this guy is great. Last year was a little bit of a mess out of him, was kind of an unreliable player, had a couple moments, but he was more of a negative, and now he looks like amazing. But I would point out the back end too, where some of Mayock's draft picks and pickups, if we're going to kill him for a lot of the mistakes, Trayvon Mullen in this system looks good. Hobbs, who won the slot corner job, I think is a rookie, or is a surprising player. And then more importantly is Casey Hayward, the former Charger Packer who's had a terrific career coming off a bad year. He looks like a number one corner. And suddenly have the makings of an average. I mean, average. It's only two games, but you have the makings of an average.
But this is when we need to make the decision with the bandwagon. Is it just me? And I'd be curious what his PFF score is. Not that that is objective. But it seemed like even Jonathan Abram was all over the place this past week making some plays. So this team is going in the right direction. Are you getting on with us, Mark?
Come on. One of my
I don't know if I'm totally on.
This is the time. It's either yes or no.
Not totally.
Then no. And okay. It's for me, it's just because I think that you, like Dan, something about the Las Vegas Raiders really appeals to you. The vibe of it, the whole thing.
I feel like you've made this pitch for the Raiders as the team of Hansus before.
Probably
multiple times.
Have, yes. But multiple this times. Is different.
You have something for them. I like
it. I think it's fallen on deaf ears before because I had, you know, get on the bandwagon for the Raiders' inevitable collapse because I still want to see.
Wow.
Well, that's happened two
Mark
years in a row.
Taking it in a different direction.
It's happened two years in a row, and you can tie it mostly to the defense. And if the defense, if the defense is improved, then maybe it doesn't happen this year. So I certainly have ears for what you're saying.
Let me push back on that.
Wait, so your bandwagon is you're taking over his bandwagon, and then you're driving it into.
I was saying that was one of the. I came up with like 14 of them. It was one I maybe would throw out. It was low on the list.
Let me just frame it though, because September 1st, that's a great one to throw out there. Oh, yeah, get ready for the inevitable collapse. But I'm basing this on what has happened so far this season, that the defense is different than those years. That's why I think they're different. You're saying nothing matters.
I'm projecting what will happen. That's how this works. I'm looking into the future.
But are you factoring in what's actually happened so far this season or just something?
I would say this, that the version of Derek Carr, if he played that way in 14 of their games, then they're a playoff team that will win a playoff game. So, I mean, I think also you're in year four of John Gruden. We need to see results. You know, other coaches don't get 4 years to round the thing into shape, but he's still a good offensive play caller, and it's looking like his vision is coming together. So I'm not anti-Raiders.
Great kicker.
I also don't think Derek Carr is playing over his head right now. This feels like he's capable of carrying this through a season.
I think their weapons are starting to grow up around.
But I'm leaving without you guys. Just know that you have the chance.
I do agree with you. I think this division's just so good that.
Is it because the Broncos are the team of Thal? It wouldn't be right to get on a Raiders bandwagon because they essentially would take your wild card spot.
The Chargers are there too. I mean, this division is great.
And do you think that the two of you would get along on like a 18-month prairie ride across the United States?
Yeah,
and
we'd
like,
be fine. We'd all be right. Good.
We flew to London together, sitting next to each other. We survived
that. That's like 12 hours, 14 hours.
I know.
That's quite different.
Anyway, Greg, go ahead.
You get dysentery. It's going to be ugly.
Well, part of the reason I'm hesitant about the Raiders is I'm feeling more about this Chargers team. I don't feel like I can talk Broncos now. I've talked Broncos enough. So look, I love this Broncos team. I think I said their ceiling is a 12-13 win team, and nothing in the first 2 weeks has changed my mind on that. Fourth in DVOA through 2 weeks.
12 or 13.
They could be like a very good offensive team and a great defensive team. We'll see.
Wow.
But the bandwagon I'm driving here today is for Derwin James. And it's for the Chargers overall, but it's especially for Derwin James having the comeback player of the year season, having maybe a defensive player of the year type of season. I just get the feel of how Brandon Staley is using Derwin James through 2 weeks is so encouraging, and he's flying around doing so many different things right away that I'm just getting a great Jalen Ramsey in L.A. is Derwin James in L.A. for Brandon Staley type of vibe. And with Herbert being as exciting as he is, I know they're coming off of a bad game. Like, I think this team is extremely dangerous. And for some reason, I was hesitant to totally get behind it. And again, I'm kind of playing the hits here with the Chargers. But it makes sense when you look at this coaching staff and you look at the skill set that Herbert has and the way they're putting Mike Williams into position as like a true sort of X receiver, maxing out his talent. Eckler, I just see it all. There's still sloppiness. They've had a lot of bad finishes to drive through 2 weeks. But that's the type of thing I think you can figure out through the course of the season. And I think with Bosa and James, two possible Defensive Player of the Year candidates on the same team, watch out.
So
get on the bandwagon, the Chargers bandwagon. The whole division's a bandwagon.
Well, yeah, you can't double up the bandwagon in the division. That feels impossible.
Why not?
We have three right now.
You can't love every. You can't be on every bandwagon.
I guess if those
you got to pick a bandwagon.
Those would be my two biggest ones in the whole league, though. And if they both win 11 games,
you can't Marty McFly it in Back to the Future 3.
If they both go 11-6, then wasn't I right to be driving both bandwagons?
Okay, all right, now. Are you all at all spooked that the Chargers still did a Chargers thing this weekend? They opened up their building with fans, 12 penalties for 99 yards, two touchdowns called back on penalties, find a way to blow the game to a Cowboys team that was trying to essentially hand you the game, but somehow kicks the 56-yarders because in that situation, the Chargers end up losing. Like, are we at all worried that, and I know Brandon Staley's a god and all this, but like, are we at all worried that it's still the Chargers at the end of the day?
I am not. And you can dismiss the Brandon Staley as
I'm not dismissing
thing.
Him, but it's like, all right, I understand, well, but the same thing happened that would happen to the Chargers last year on
Sunday.
That's
fine. I mean, it's a new offense. It's a new defense. You know, if we say the Packers need time to figure themselves out in essentially the same offense they've run forever, like, I mean, give me a break, that wouldn't be the case with the Chargers. I mean, they lost to a Cowboys team that I think is explosive. I come totally with Greg on the Derwin James thing. I think it was our network show that I mentioned, and it was kind of like saying he'll have his best season. Yeah, well, how can he? Because he was already, you know, all these other things before he was hurt. But you can see it, and he's that kind of player. And you pair him with Bosa, and you've got what I do think is a good coach, and you've got a transcendent quarterback. That there isn't really much of a more simple recipe for success. And I mean, Keenan Allen, like, give me a break. I feel like the guy, because he's on the Chargers, gets ignored left and right. If he were on the Dallas Cowboys, we'd be talking about him nonstop. I mean, they've got a ton of players, and I see them winning 11 or 12 games.
To Dan's point, though, they've kind of chargered 2 weeks in a row. They dominated Washington and made a lot of, they couldn't finish drives in that game and had a couple bad breaks, but they probably should have won that game by 17. And throughout the fourth quarter of that game, you're good, like, oh, they're charging again. So there is something in the DNA here, but that's why the bandwagon.
Also, they can't all win 11 or 12 in this division.
It's a long journey. It's a long journey. And to me, they're going to solve things. You're right, because the Chargers, for instance, like, that loss hurts. The next 3 weeks play the Chiefs, or 4 weeks, the Raiders, the Browns, the Ravens, the Patriots. I mean, think, oh, my God.
Well, and ultimately, that, I guess that's what also I'm getting at. The team, you got to figure out a way to win that game at home in that spot. But
Literally. They
got a lot of talent. And I thought this was an interesting comment from Staley after the game, because Herbert threw two interceptions in the game, also made a bunch of big throws. He is a savage in the pocket. And Staley, after the game, was asked about his quarterback. He said Justin Herbert was outstanding. He was the best player on the field. A lot of good players were on that field at SoFi on Sunday. All right, Mark, you're up.
I will pick a team that I have never
last spring and came back for the children and me in July. You'll find things very different out here. Yes.
I don't know what's wrong.
A little prairie talk.
There's something wrong with that woman. Play the beginning of that again, Ricky. Tell me if there's.
Yes, my husband filed his claim last spring and came back for the children and me in July. You'll find things very different out here. Yes.
Well, I mean, the pause and then the, yes.
Where is this pulled from? It feels like gun smoke or something.
Somewhere. Anyway, we're back on the prairie with Sessler.
Well, this is maybe a team located in a place that we might cross at some point as we go west along the over the United States. Arizona, the Cardinals, a team that I have not been interested in in a long, long time. I didn't care about the Cliff Kingsbury thing too much. I was never into the Arians Cardinals the way that Wes was. That was a Wes venture. And I know in our podcast, like, when one person like locks into something, you kind of just got to just separate from it, because it's too hard to have like dueling love affairs with some of these entities. But the Cardinals, to me, over 2 weeks.
I love those Cardinals.
What?
I love those
Cardinals. They were fine. I was never the lead guy on that. I just was like, fine.
You felt left
like,
out? You felt
Greg
left out of
them.
The
Wes
the
loves
Cardinals
them. There's too
bandwagon.
Much enthusiasm.
One of my favorite NFL media assignments was covering the All or Nothing premiere. I think the 2016 or 15 Cardinals. And it was down at LA Live, and I brought Jay Zumwalt with me. We went down there, and just hanging out in this green room with that team was so cool, because Arians was belly up at the bar drinking cocktails. You had a young Honey Badger coming off a rookie season just, like, lighting up the room. You had Carson Wentz at the other side of the bar drinking Bud Heavies. I'll never forget that. And just kind of
– Carson Palmer.
Carson Palmer, excuse me. And just exuding this, like – certain type of energy, I'll put it that way, a large something energy. And I'll just never forget that room. It was just such a fun, fun day. So I like those Cardinals,
wait,
too.
Wait, so you were in their grips as well. So, I mean, there was just no oxygen in the room for me to be like, you know, with my pom-poms about the – I mean, I like them fine, okay? But this Cardinals team, I think on Sunday – honestly, on Sundays, this is an honest comment. I am looking for new things to lift my enjoyment of the sport. I am seeking that. And I found it with the Cardinals on Sunday. That Vikings game, sure, they could have lost that game. But there's something about this team – that is just absolutely magnificent to watch. It starts for me with like Rondale Moore, who I think leads all rookies in receiving right now and is the perfect electric dance partner for Kyler Murray, who every game we know is going to do five or six things that immediately like light up the highlight reels for 7 years. I think they're better on defense than I expected. The parts they've added have been successful. We haven't seen so far. You know, last year I thought Cliff Kingsbury did a really nice job marching the team from like 20 to 20, the 20s. And then you get into the red zone and disaster would strike. And then Kyler Murray got hurt. That's the one thing you'd have to be worried about because they were a totally different team at that point. But if they stay healthy and if he stays healthy, I think this team, and again, they're in a division where not everyone can win 11 games in that division too, but this is a freaky, sneaky type of wild card team.
Freaky and sneaky.
Something very strange. And I'm on board. And I think this is the time to get on because they're the most fun team to watch right now.
Power Rankings history, by the way, and you can watch a Power Rankings show with me and Matt Money Smith every Tuesday on NFL Network. All four NFC West teams in the top 10. And I had the Cardinals.
Wait, you went back and checked all of the Elliot Harrison archives?
I dug through everything. Not just our site, not the history of Power Rankings at the NFL.com. Anyone's Power
Rankings. PFT, they've never done it.
PFT, CBS, Reuters, the AP. I just went through all of it.
It's amazing.
It's a tremendous amount of research.
It's never happened. It took me 48 straight hours.
Couldn't this be the first division ever to put four teams into the playoffs? That'd be a fun bandwagon.
I guess that can happen now? Oh, because there's the extra playoff spot.
And not likely, but it can.
Right, it's not likely. Although there was a moment last year where they were sort of in position for it. But if you were to create a schedule out of division for it to happen in the year 2021 – the schedule you would create would be, we want to play the NFC North, get the Lions, the Vikings, and the Bears, and Packers too. And then you go the AFC South route.
Oh, yeah.
You get the Titans, the Jaguars, that whole mess.
Feast.
That is what the NFC West has out of division. So there is an opportunity for all four of these teams
to win 10.
To beat up in those out of division games. If you can go 7-1, then you split your division game. They all win 11 and they're in.
But both of these Western divisions, it's like you're also gonna be like facing each other,
right?
And that's gonna
then you have to sort of even out. Like everyone has to win their division. You know, win some home division games, get near 500.
I'm 100% in on Kyler being for real and carrying if he can stay healthy. With that giant helmet and the little body running around the field. As long as he doesn't get dinged and bang up that shoulder again or something else happens to him and knock on glass that it doesn't happen, I think he's going to have a monster year. And I see the same thing you see, Mark, that they finally have now found. It took them a year, but they found a true number two complement now to Nuke Hopkins.
No one wants to say it, but replacing – Fitzgerald with Rondale Moore is like
right. That's a
massive,
huge
upgrade.
Upgrade. So I'm on this bandwagon with you, buddy.
We're riding together.
Yeah, let's go. Let's ride.
We're gonna have some.
Plenty of oxygen.
Not gonna be like an 1750s automobile, by the way, a cart or whatever it is. We're gonna have a lot of add-ons inside this.
But
vehicle.
I still think the other bandwagons in the division are a little ahead of them. But I like them a lot. That's all.
Well, they're behind us, which means when we pull out our bow and arrow, we're firing at them. They can't see us, and it's just like that piece of cloth that has the opening in the back. And
right.
Like, you're taking
cloth opening.
Oh, sorry, Kyle Shanahan. You're down with an arrow in your shoulder.
Right in your shoulder, and it hoits. All right, let's go around quick one more time before we get to Thursday Night Football.
Paul, maybe Brother Hanson here would like to hear some music.
Yes, ma'am. We need music out here. Music to ward off loneliness. Music to sustain the high courage needed by dauntless pioneers in their conquest of the plains.
Yes. Listen to that. The internet of the old times, of Ireland. Yes, we're going to ward off the loneliness. Because all of us Jameis Winston deniers We're on the bandwagon. This is your last chance. Join us. Realize that he tried to suck you in week one. You got excited. And then he was a nightmare.
Another bandwagon of hate.
He was a This is not a hate. This is not hate. This is just reality. He was a nightmare against the Panthers. And I understand the Panthers might have a way better defense than we thought. But those interceptions were straight out of the Jameis Winston greatest hits catalog of the past. And I am not, you know, celebrating the demise of the Saints by any stretch. They've had a very tough year, both with the personnel and with the hurricane and everything else. And there's a fire at the Superdome today. Like, what is going
COVID.
On? Who, you know, where are the Black Cats are, like, going under ladders? What is going on with the Saints? But this is your chance now to be like, oh, no, I actually, Winston is who we thought he was. Let's head on out of here and let the other people, like the LASIK supporters of Jameis Winston, you know, go up in flames.
Well, that's, you're talking about me because I've been a proponent
well,
of that concept
you.
For.
But the whole, LASIK. You know, the all the LASIK people got very quiet on social media this week. You know, we talked about the billboard, the LASIK billboard for Jameis Winston. I had said hit the brakes on that campaign and wait for Sunday. That was smart because that would have taken out that entire business. So hopefully there's no more billboards for Jameis out there, LASIK related. This is your chance. Greg, I'm really talking to you because I know you have a soft spot in your heart. Hop on the bandwagon.
Wait, you're taking the West role here to slam on Winston. Oh, by the way, yeah, Mariota, by the way, on IR again. There's a surprise. Just
who is?
Mariota.
That one run? Oh, yeah. My God, Marcus. All right, but anyway, what a draft class. But hop on with me, and it's not something, we're not stomping on the grave of your beloved Tulane Wave, Green Wave.
Green Wave.
Or New Orleans or Louisiana or anything else. It's just, let's move on. We don't believe.
No, I'm not going on that bandwagon. I mean, if any other quarterback in the league was throwing to this collection of players, the excuses that we would trot out would be incredible.
Oh, wait a second, though. I'm again, look at those interceptions. Yes,
okay,
maybe they weren't open.
Okay,
but that
look
was
at that
man.
Game.
Okay.
That game was over by the time he started turning the ball over like that anyways. One of them was an arm punt. Third and long, midfield.
He was trying
to make a play, but I think there's like a calculated thing there. It was like, it's third and long at midfield, roughly. You could have said, oh, they're in field goal range for 57 yards. Shut up.
I like the idea of like anytime
the offensive line was
James
terrible.
Winston, just say they, arm punt. It was like, Greg, it was second and two. Arm
no,
punt.
It was third and long, but it was like a long field goal. So it's a question.
I'm a
defense.
Loser.
I am. I couldn't believe how bad the offensive line was. And I think that's where you might be missing Drew Brees. I mean, the offensive line was dominated in that game. It was very confusing, but so much of it were miscommunications and protection where free rushers were coming. And then it gets a little shaky where, okay, they're missing their center, McCoy, and they're missing Drew Brees to set the protection. So those are the two guys. And like Carolina 8. So I don't know if that's on Winston or who that's on, but if he gets that kind of pass rush against him with those receivers, forget it. I love little Jordan Humphrey.
He had one catch and was the leading receiver.
But
27 yards, I believe it was.
But it's like he's still like, well, I don't want to slam on little Jordan Humphrey. But
I'm a loser.
He's a big guy. They need to
6 foot four.
Convert him to tight end. Him coming out of your break, you do not need him as a starting receiver right now.
You need Michael Thomas is what you need.
Yeah, you need Michael.
I'm not jumping on the bandwagon just because it feels like a,
we
like
gone.
A kind of a bad energy ride. It's like I'm rooting for him to continue to not succeed. I don't know.
No, it's just that he won't succeed, so give up the ghost.
I can't think of a team in years that from week one to week two where it's a total personality flip.
Yeah,
so I kind of want to see another week of Winston before.
But then it's too late.
I know, but that's why I'm allowing myself to not need this bandwagon. It leaves without
me. All right, but as long as you're not the one destroying Jameis Winston a few weeks from now because you waited too long, the bandwagon's gone.
But the ramifications of this game keep changing. I mean, we, you know.
All right, Greg.
I feel stupid because before my bandwagon was really about Derwin James, and then I started like rambling and whatnot. So I just wanted that to be clear. I like this Chargers team, but it was Derwin James kind of having a special defensive player of the year season. This one is more about an individual too, and I know this bandwagon's quite crowded, and Mark's been driving it. But man, I love me some Kevin Stefanski lately. That team is so well coached. You know, if you had said like you got no Odell Beckham, you got no Jarvis Landry. You got Felton playing three snaps as somehow your leading receiver. You got all of the different tight ends, Harrison Bryant. Like, I just love the way that they attack opponents, how it changes each week, how they're cohesive, the decisions that he makes. I like the little smirk he makes when David Culley makes a really boneheaded punt instead of, you know, accepting a penalty. And Stefanski's like, yeah, that would never happen in my Cleveland thing. It took me a little longer to warm up to, but I'm just thinking, like, is this going to be a top five offense no matter what's going on? Because I'm giving a lot of the credit to the coaching. I am. Sorry, Baker, but I'm giving a lot of credit to what's going on in the running backs. And it's just a fun – I like good football. And it's just a fun, cohesive offense to watch. And so I'm late on this bandwagon, but I'm in on this.
I will allow you on, Greg, because that was an incredible soliloquy that was music to my ears. I mean, you just have to go back through the years. They had
– Music does soothe the soul.
It soothed the soul.
Yeah.
I mean, you can have that man with the
like coach
violin.
Of the year type stuff. Did he get it last year?
He did.
Oh,
he did.
Shoot. Well, he's not going to win.
I think he missed the bandwagon on
no,
this
he
one.
Did, but I think that was more about the Browns becoming a better team. But they have had such a laundry list over decades of hideous game day managers at coach. I mean, guys that just could not coach themselves. They're very good at getting you into problems with no concept how to get out. Stefanski, I thought, in that game, it got a little rough at one point, and he's appropriately aggressive, but he also brought them back to their roots, which is what they are in the second half, and just ran the ball down right through Houston's defense. And every week they look a little bit different. They're fluid. They're flexible. And I think if I saw Stefanski, it's like one of the few people. I mean, who is making you starstruck at this point? I could list like five or six people. I would not know what to say if I saw him, because I do think, to me, he's moving higher into higher echelons of fandom for me because of who he is on a game day. Week after week, as Greg described, I think he's a huge asset for
them. I just made like a cardinal sin is never talk about the Browns or Jets on my own, because it's like we're going to have that overly covered anyways.
Right.
But I think it was I've waited with Stefanski and a little bit Baker, and I know it's only two games, but I did just want to see, okay, how do they come out in year two? That was incredible, year one. And somehow I'm more impressed. I don't know. Maybe it's because of the injuries and the variety and the different people they're using. Like, they're not even getting anything out of Peoples-Jones. And I just think they're a beautiful operation to watch.
How about you, Mark?
I have. I was going to mention Dimitric Felton, but I will not because it's been mentioned. I was going to also say that you want to stay on that bandwagon, remaining vigilant for what's going to happen this year. The big news item involving a cheerleader, that was my sandwich prop. Just to keep an eye on that, but that I'm not saying that you need to get on that bandwagon. But
the bandwagon that something bad is going to happen to a cheerleader?
Just to stay vigilant.
Yeah, I didn't.
It wasn't bad. I'm not on that bandwagon. Well, it was just that she's going to make news.
That's true. It could have necessarily been. We don't know if it was
like she was going to be on like a Dateline episode or something. I just didn't feel good about it. So. Yeah.
I'm just saying it was one of the things
he never
I had
specified
out there.
The gender, because you know the Rams have a ton of male cheerleaders.
That's exactly right.
The guys that throw the girls.
But see, when you assume that it's a female cheerleader, you need to check yourself.
I know you, Mark.
Check your privilege.
I know you, Mark, and you're referring to a female cheerleader.
All right. Well, so where I really am going to go with this instead is what I am, and this is something
monster.
I just learned in the last couple of days here. What I think is maybe a brewing annoyance on the part of Big Ben with new play caller Matt Canada. He has already resorted to the very weather-worn blow-off line that players give when they were asking about the offense just crumbling against this, looked bad against the Raiders. He basically just, you know, over and over, you'll have to ask Coach Canada that. I love when players start saying that, you know you've got issues.
Didn't they make this guy the coordinator? Because Ben was bad-mouthing the guy before, and he liked Canada.
I think with Russell Wilson, you can think like they're going to work together well all year long because Russell Wilson seems amiable. I don't know what water that holds with Big Ben, but hold on. One little other thing before we take
it. Because I just want to know, like, with the segment we're doing here, and I'm all for slinging arrows at teams you and players you don't like.
Right.
But what bandwagon are we talking about?
This is the band, the Big Ben's Brewing Annoyance with Matt Canada bandwagon.
I thought I was struggling with the concept here.
All right. Well, I had a bunch of positive ones. I gave you a nice little thing about the Cardinals.
Big Ben's Brewing Annoyance with the offensive coordinator bandwagon.
Let me add this second.
I capitulated and gave you a little nice one about the Cardinals. Now let's
this
get the
second
knives.
Point. After he kept saying you'll have to ask Coach Canada that, he turned around and said, we've got some really good football players that you want to get on the football field. So if you don't have them out there, they're sitting on the bench doing nothing.
Well, you also have the
James Washington. Who is he even talking
about?
Well,
I don't know. Certain packages when people weren't out there. But for him to say that,
by the way,
is the opposite of what's happening on functional teams.
You have some Big Ben bingo cooking here because now there's the report confirmed by the team that he has pectoral injury. I'm sure that will not come up again if the offense continues to struggle.
I love the drama because he also kept trying to say, like during the press conference, right after the game at least, that he needed to improve. And the local reporter, Mark Caboli, who was always a Sheck guest for The Athletic, thought that it was almost in direct response to something Chris Carter said, which I guess got attention, that Ben always makes excuses and complains and brings attention to himself. So Ben, sort of like a child, the next press conference just goes, every answer he said, well, I have to do better.
Like a child.
Just like in a response, like he was like subtly, passive-aggressively going back at Carter by just like petulantly saying this. It was amazing.
What was that, Ben? I think what you're dancing around though, ultimately, Mark, and maybe it'll be more clear within the segment's constraints here, is the AFC North is moving on without the Steelers bandwagon. Why don't you just throw it out there? So I know that's what you really mean.
I can't say that yet because I still always feel like
it's your own bandwagon.
This is more Big Ben's and Brewing Annoyance with Matt Canada. It's not mean I'm saying they're going to win five games, but the offense, I think, has the offensive line, which was a mystery coming in, feels ill-prepared.
We'll talk more about the Steelers on Thursday, but I think we're on the same page. I think you're dancing a little bit around your own bandwagon here, but I think I know where you're going. All right.
Well, I can do that around my bandwagon. I can park it in the middle of the field.
You do whatever you want. Let's hear that woman again. You know, I just that lady. Before we move on, just kind of Colleen.
Yes, my husband filed his claim last spring and came back for the children and me in July.
You'll find things very different out here. Yes.
Yes. It's like, is she medicated?
She sounds
like
very...
Very 1600s? Like
people talk sort of differently.
Like 1800s?
Just like stylistic ways of speaking have
yes.
changed.
Like a drug-induced Scientology scenario. But the other woman, very stern.
I like that.
You'll find things different out here.
I like that. I like her style. All right, let's pause here for a word from our sponsors.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Hey guys, this is Matt Jones, Drew Franklin from the Fade This podcast. We got a great episode coming up, picks in all the sports, football, basketball, we do them all, but here's a preview of this week's episode. Do you think it's more embarrassing to dye your hair or to have hair plugs?
I don't think either are embarrassing if you're not trying to conceal it and act like you didn't.
Okay, so you think if you just come out and go, I got hair plugs.
Yeah, like check out these hair. I mean, don't just walk around, hey, tapping, hey, stranger, I don't want you thinking this is natural. You know, but I mean,
do you have to do that with everyone you meet?
Some people try to act like they, you know what I mean.
Yeah. But I mean, like John Cena got him. You know, when John Cena came back to wrestling, he had a bald spot, and now he doesn't. Mm-hmm. You think he should be required in all interviews to say, look, by the way, I covered up my bald spot?
Yeah, I guess it's weird. I mean, you don't wear a sign or like put a sign in your yard, but.
All right, so what about toupees?
Those are the most obvious.
But let's say you're like Bill Self and you can get it to where it looks good.
His is magical. I don't even know if his is a toupee.
It is.
I think he went into the future and had a procedure we haven't even discovered yet.
And this episode was brought to you in partnership with DraftKings. To hear more, listen and subscribe to Fade This on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
All right, we're back. All right, before we go, let's start looking towards week three with a little Thursday night football preview. And to do that, we welcome a great friend.
606, buried this beat. There's a wolf.
There she is. And she'll blow your house down. The tiny box.
There's a wolf.
Connie Fox. Some call her Colleen Wolf. Welcome back. How you like our studio?
Hey.
Bunch of fancy.
Yeah, what are you guys in the studio, you suckers? Why are you at home anymore?
You're in a huge box right now. This is no longer tiny.
Tiny box and a big box. Yep. Hey.
Yeah, that's your new name, Huge Box. All right, listen, Colleen. Let's get Let's get into Thursday Night Football, and everyone should know by now that Colleen is the host of Thursday Night Football on NFL Network. And I was a little upset about Young and Sweaty, and you didn't have a chance to get them up on the platform last week. Washington's defense didn't really play a starring role, but we get another shot now here with Carolina Panthers at Houston Texans. This is a game that will be interesting, of course, with a third-string rookie quarterback starting for the Houston Texans and the Panthers, who have become a story here in the NFL. How do you feel about what you've seen so far?
Well, I was just wondering, like, do you have a Young and Sweaty style nickname for anyone on this team? Is there anything I need to work towards to make up for from last week?
Let me get back to you on that one.
Okay.
Matt Rhule's. I mean, he's the guy. Rhule's, Darnold. We got some things to work with here. CMC.
General Mills. You could call him General Mills when Davis Mills, you know, is on the podium with you.
That's pretty good.
All right. That's awesome. Like that one. Davis Mills, I have a feeling in these games on Thursday night, we've had some games in the past where there's a relatively unknown quarterback starting, whether it's because of injury or whatever. So we've seen it with Nick Mullins before, where we've had him on the podium.
I was thinking of the Nick Mills. Nick Mullins game.
Right, exactly. So I could see this happening. Exactly. Taylor Heineke. It's not like it hasn't been done before. So Davis Mills, that's who I'm watching for. And he's in a really unenviable position because this is his first start. It's on a short week, so he has condensed timing here to prep. So he's lucky that it's not an away game, because then that would be even shorter amount of time for him. But it's not like he has a very strong set of skill position players to help him out either. Like Taylor Heineke was in a spot where they have some guys like Terry McLaurin that could get him out of a jam. And they also have a running game there with Antonio Gibson. This is a little bit of a different story. So, and not to mention, he is a little bit different than Tyrod Taylor in the fact that he's more of a pocket passer. He doesn't have that mobility. So a lot of things are different. And then this Panthers defense, which has done a really good job this far in the season, they've allowed the fewest yards per game in the NFL through these first two games and by a lot, like 44 yards per game fewer than the number two ranked Bills. So they were really good against the Saints, had two picks. So Jameis Winston looking more like Jameis Winston of old. They sacked Jameis Winston four times, but this front seven looks legit.
I mean, it's, they're the top defense in yardage, both run, pass, and total. They lead the league in points allowed. Phil Snow, who really didn't have a lot of pro experience, has coordinated that defense so well. And I just love what's happening, because you're looking at guys like Shaq Thompson, who were on the team already, playing their best football. And it's guys like Brian Burns, who continue to develop under this coaching staff. And I just like to say, let it snow. Phil Snow and this defense are going to put it on. I don't think you're going to be seeing Davis Mills up on the podium. Now, you never know. I mean, things are weird on these games. You're right about that. It's in Houston. I don't know if that's a huge benefit or not.
Writing it down.
But
let's
I'm telling you,
let it snow.
This Panthers team, yeah, let it snow.
That's good. That's good.
Informer. Oh, just call him Informer.
Good. That's good. I like that I'm just doing all of my prep live on the show with you guys. That's good. Keep it coming. These are great ideas, gang.
This is, we just did a segment about jumping on bandwagons, and I didn't want to talk too much Panthers because we were going to do it right now, but I can think of no more sturdy bandwagon to jump on than the Carolina Panthers. They are a playoff team. They've got a coach that that Colleen and I met in person. I've been through that story 1,000 times, immediately a fan. And I just, I love the direction of the entire offense, well, defense, everything. They might have a kicker issue. That's the one area I'm a little
bit bummed. I can't believe the Panthers didn't come up in the last segment because
they are a great example.
They
are your bandwagon, Mark.
They're a great example because you look at their schedule, what they've done so far, and who they have on Thursday, and there is a chance that maybe this isn't, they aren't for real when things tighten up. But this is your chance. If you believe what you've seen so far, this is the chance to say the Panthers are legit and you're rolling through the prairie land.
Yeah, and we've talked about, me and Sessler mentioned that we met Matt Rhule. I actually covered Matt Rhule when I was back in Philly, and he was the head coach at Temple. So this team, it's looking a lot better, even in that secondary. I feel like the secondary of the Panthers has improved too, because we've talked a lot about the front seven looking really legit with Brian Burns and Hassan Reddick and Morgan Fox. Morgan Fox, who 8 quarterback pressures last week, a half a sack. So they can do so many things up front. They can really switch it up. They're really dynamic. They're so fast. But the secondary, too, they should have a pretty decent time limiting the Texans receivers, because you're not really going to have a threat of, I think, the deep ball from Davis Mills. A.J. Bouye, he'll be back from
Davis
suspension.
Mills has got a cannon. If nothing else, Davis Mills might uncork a couple. Brandon Cooks? I don't know.
Hey, maybe you're right. That's actually a good point. So maybe the Panthers secondary will get exposed by Davis Mills. That's something to watch for.
Listen, weird things happen on Thursday night. And, you know, Connie, Matt Rhule had my heart when we met him at the owners' meetings. And I asked him, do you like the Hamptons or the Jersey Shore? And you know where he went. Now, Connie's more of a Southern Tip, Exit 3 type girl. Garden State, the Wildwood region. I'm more
7S, Garden State.
Yeah, I'm more the Belmar, Point Pleasant, Seaside Heights.
Is that like Wall Township?
Wall Township. Devin Keith live in Spring Lake. I like that area. But if he's Jersey Shore over the Hamptons, you know he's good people.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, at least we can all agree on, like, the Jersey Shore is really amazing and nothing like what people think it is.
Right.
It is dawning on me that actually I don't think Matt Rhule ever would have approached me except that I was with Colleen. It's only at this
that's
moment
not true.
I'm starting to realize that that's
so
probably
true.
That's
he's so good.
It's not true. It's not true. Great guy.
He doesn't matter. It's still cool.
It matters a little bit.
He was
but
still a nice guy.
He still was very nice.
I'm disappointed that Tyrod is gone, because when it was halftime, right when he got hurt, when we found out that he was going to leave, they were giving the Browns everything they could handle. At that point in the season, they were as good as any team in the NFL through 6 quarters. Even after that, like, they've been really respectable on defense. I think their offensive coordinator, who they kept from the previous regime, Tim Kelly.
Did you say any good as any team in the NFL through 6 quarters? That's crazy.
But
okay. You'd have to say they played very well.
They absolutely blew out the team they played in week one, yes. And they were playing the Browns maybe even better.
I had to channel the spirit of Wes, because Wes would have said
That's fair to you there,
what, I had to say.
And Tyrod, and yet I think they can't make this number big enough for the Panthers not to go over it. I think they're going to destroy Davis Mills. I thought Davis Mills had a touchdown drive last week, but was a bit of a mess, was miscommunications, throws behind players, didn't look ready for it. I'm embarrassed how much preseason I watched Davis Mills. He's going to have like a couple like Mettenberger or Mike Glennon type throws in there, but he's not ready for this. Like, he is not ready. And they're going up against a pretty well-run offense too, with Sam Darnold hitting those first reads, that they figured out the protection there. Like, I think you're going to get a dud. I think Davis Mills is going to go up and
I think Colleen's going to be sitting with Sam Darnold if things go right for the Panthers.
No,
that would be the favorite.
You got to get McCaffrey or Robbie, someone with a little personality.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, you know what?
Sorry, Darnold.
With Sam Darnold, it's kind of crazy when you think about the Saints struggled more with Darnold than they did against Aaron Rodgers. Like, it's just been kind of a weird first 2 weeks of the season.
Could you, if Darnold is on the podium, could you call him S-Darn?
S-Darn. I could put that in the list for maybes.
Right. Okay, that's
like potentials.
That's not happening.
S-Darn. All right, we tried.
It
doesn't
that
flow
be
that
happening.
Great.
Travel. That's Sessler's nickname. So take it. Take it.
Doesn't flow that great is my the creation that I came up with. Fair enough.
Oh no! Connie, I'm sorry. I take it back.
It's too late.
Let's fix that in post.
It's out. Hey, you got any Tito's behind you there, by the way?
I do.
All right.
Yeah. Well, maybe it's gone from last night.
Tell Joni when I came over with Sessler for our little Once Upon a Time in Hollywood viewing party, where things got wild over the summer. He didn't have the Tito's.
And when the Nobody did have Mezcal, in, I heard.
He did. And that was a nice tie.
It's fair to say that not everyone viewed the same amount of that movie that evening.
Anyway, Connie, safe journey. Enjoy the game. And we're proud of you. What a journey you've had. Well, what a career you've built.
It's all over, guys. It's all downhill from here. Listen, I promise, though, now I am going to work in S-Darn just to make good on this. So right. It's going to happen at some point in the pregame show. S-Darn
also,
is happening.
Also a name drop. You have to name drop my name as well. So there's just add okay. that to the list of priorities.
My God, there's so many things.
And,
okay.
And one
I
more
got
thing.
It all.
You remember Informer by the artist Snow?
Yes.
All right. The name of his album was 12 Inches of Snow. So if you want to throw that on the list as well.
Great. All right. I wrote that one down too, gang.
All right. There she goes.
Goodbye.
All right. What a joy. I mean, she just brings the sunshine to the program.
Absolutely. I agree with you.
Program note before we sign off. The Around the NFL broadcast, which is flying 2 hours every Friday on NFL Network, or Saturday, I should say, excuse me. You could watch it digitally on .com on Fridays, but it is on the network on Saturdays is now also on Sky Sports. So if you are an international listener/viewer, check out your local listings. And we are on Sky Sports now, and we were getting a lot of feedback on social.
People That's Saturday excited. Afternoon as well.
Yeah, so make sure you check that out. And, yeah, we'll be back Thursday with our Week 3 preview podcast, and Greg will recap Thursday Night Football, the game we just previewed, and then, of course, Friday – Saturday, the television show. Sunday, we're back with the flagship program. But that's down the line. One step at a time, Mark.
The car's
idling. Got to get in that thing before it stalls out on you. You can't leave a car running for too long. I've done that before.
No, I did a bad job with that. I thought that we would, you know, for the first time in 2 years, actually start on time, and I miscalculated.
All right. Do you want to grab lunch with me in the commissary?
Just I have places
chop it up
to be.
A little bit?
I have places to be very soon after we wrap here.
I'm sure you do. All right. Until Thursday, heed the call. Stan Hansis, tailgating is back, and this football season, do it right. Pack up your coolers, grills, and widescreen TV and load them into a Ram. The truck brand redefining what a truck can be. Ram leads the pack in interior design, technology, and overall quality. In fact, J.D. Power just ranked Ram as the number one brand in new vehicle quality in the entire automotive industry. Learn more about what Ram has to offer at ramtrucks.com. For 2021 J.D. Power Award info, visit jdpower.com/awards.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Pistol Puma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. On sale now through May 14th.
Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.
Hey, guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.